This is the SB Live Washington podcast, your home for coverage of the high school sports scene across the Evergreen State and the people who play them. I'm Andy Bueller, reporter with SB Live, and with me is my partner in crime, a man of many hats, a senior reporter, and the prodigal son of Tacoma, Todd Millis. Todd, how we doing?
I'm doing well, Andy. It's been a very busy last few weeks getting to talk to a lot of coaches spanning all classifications to try and understand a little more about the landscape and these six classifications and what to expect here coming this fall.
Well, no question, we're really excited about the lead up to this fall season because for the first time in 2 years, we have a full fall high school football season. The COVID-19 pandemic upended the 2020 season, postponed it to the spring. Teams played shortened seasons without any state playoffs, and now we can definitively say that is all in the past. So here, we're bringing you episodic breakdowns of SB Live's top 10 rankings in each classification. These rankings and all of our work can be found on scorebooklive.com/Washington and on the SB Live Sports app, which you can download for free. You can find our top 10 classification rankings here for 1A, which we're talking about today. I've linked that episode and those that article, I should say, in the show notes. And we're breaking down each classification. So just go back into the feed and download and listen to whichever episode you so choose. Breaking down from 1B all the way up to 4A. But here, Todd, we're going to talk about 1A. And I'm going to throw these questions to you because I know you have a lot to ask. So with our 1A rankings, which are on the site live right now, starting at number one, you have the Royal Knights. 2, Eatonville. 3, Linden Christian. 4, the Connell Eagles. Mount Baker comes in at 5. Zilla at 6. Toppenish at 7. Le Centre at 8. Riverside at 9. And Montesano at 10. Todd, I'm going to throw this to you because I know you have a lot of questions.
Yeah, and honestly, over the years, this has been one of my favorite classifications. It's just in football, basketball, you name it. It always just seems to – the quality for a small school classification like that, it just always seems to come through here with these schools in this particular classification. And you've done all the research talking to coaches, just sort of your general feeling right now about this classification at 1A heading into 2021.
When you look at the 1A classification over the past couple of years, it obviously has to start with Royal. Royal is the two-time defending state champ. There are preseason number one, and it's kind of been Royals to lose for the last couple of years. But, you know, now the gap might not be as pronounced as it was last year. Replacing quarterback wide receiver combo Caleb and Cooper Christensen is going to be something that I don't know that Royal will be able to do, but they can certainly adapt. Those guys were program pillars and could really move the ball offensively. I'm interested to see how Royal does under stud linebacker turned quarterback Derek Bergeson as their quarterback. He moved under center. He competed with Caleb Christensen for the quarterback job in the past, so he's familiar with the position. He steps in for a team with less offensive firepower, a line that's smaller but replaces, you know, three returning starters on the line. I think that's going to be led, though, Royal, by its defense. And we'll be interested to see kind of how that offense figures things out. But I think the question is, going into the year, who has the best shot at beating Royal? And you know, beyond that, you go Royal 1 and then Eatonville coming down from 2A at number 2. So, you know, I think in this top 10, you're going to see a bunch of teams that are traditional 1A powers, as has been the case in our past conversations about other classifications. A familiar name up top, Todd, but one that is not in such a solid place that we're sitting here going, you know, it might as well be chalk.
You know, I had a stat here, I think last year when Wiley Allred was approaching 350 wins, which is remarkable in itself, that there are only two high school football coaches on the West Coast in any level, any state, that can boast 350 wins and a 90% or better winning percentage. And there are two guys, De La Salle's Bob Le Dasseur,
yeah,
and Wiley Allred. And you think about that. Now, Butch Goncharoff, if he had stayed at Bellevue, probably, which is amazing that Washington would have two guys, if he had stayed at Bellevue. But he had that brief run at Cedar Park Christian, that, and he sort of dipped now under 90%. But Wiley Allred, you think about that. I mean, that's an incredible run he's had over in the center part of the state. I would never bet against Wiley or any of his teams, and he always seems just to find football players. And you mentioned this. Eric Bergeson's going to be the starting quarterback. He's been an all-state linebacker. Yeah. He's been on our linebackers list. He just finds guys that can play football, and he fits them anywhere, and seems to throw a couple linemen out there, and they play really physical football. So, you know, again, as dominant a program in any classification in the state, and I don't disagree with you. I think Royals still the team to beat, but watch out for Eatonville. They're big, and they're nasty.
No question, Todd. And just to recap what Royal did last spring, because I think it deserves some attention. Royal went 5-0, and because of the state's response to the pandemic and the weird season, you know, regions were lumped together by health district in the state's response to the pandemic. And so Royal wasn't able to play a South Central Athletic Conference schedule. Instead, they played against all bigger schools in their backyard. They played Eastmont, they played Ephrata, 4A Wenatchee, Waluke, Moses Lake, another 4A team. And Royal ran the table. Like, there was not even a team that could stay on the field with them, Todd, no matter the classification, no matter how big the school was in that part of the state. And so I just think that, you know, before we address Royal and you know, maybe some of the weaknesses that other teams in that top 10 are chopping at the bit to get the chance to get a crack at, I think we need to acknowledge how incredible Royals' run has been these last 2 years. Of course, winning the state title in a really good game against Linden Christian in 2019, and then coming back this year in a year where there was no state playoff, and saying, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the school, we're going to run the table regardless.
Any place, anytime. That's kind of their motto. They'll play anybody. That's the great thing about that particular program. You know, I'll tell you, kind of going to our next question, one of the things that kind of caught my attention, and I'm sure caught some the attention of, well, a few notable people in a certain community in Eastern Washington. I mean, you look at the SCAC, it's the best represented league in our rankings. I was surprised to see the Toppenish was behind two of the teams that it beat last year in the spring season, Connell and Zilla. Do you care to explain that?
Yeah, I mean, first off, I have to give Toppenish a ton of credit. I mean, they come down from, 2A to 1A last year. You know, we covered that great top of the league rivalry between them and Zilla in the basketball season. And that, you know, in the spring was coming off of a football season where, you know, Toppenish ran the table in the SCAC. They went 5-0. They beat Zilla 20-13 in their week two game. And they had a double overtime win over Connell. And you know, I just look at last year and what Toppenish had, of course, starting with Jason Grant, you're really, really talented wideout and defensive back, 6'2", over 200 pounds. I mean, Todd, you've talked to Jason Grant. We've both talked to Jason Grant. You've met his dad. Jason Grant is a very intense physical presence, and he can do a lot of things on the football field. Him coming back this year puts Toppenish in a position, no matter who else is around him. I don't care. He can win Toppenish football games. And, I think the big question for them is, how are they going to fill in the spots around Grant and some of the returners like, Joshua Perez at quarterback? Because Toppenish lost 29 seniors. They're going to be a lot thinner than they were last year. You know, 29 seniors, replacing that at the 1A level is no joke. You know, football teams, where maybe an eight-man you can get by, with a couple great players and a bunch of kind of role guys who fill in the spots. You know, 1A football, these teams are going to be required to have depth, and if they don't have depth, stay healthy. And so that's where, you know, with Toppenish, I look at them in I think, the most talented 1A league in the state, in the SCAC. And I think that, you know, putting Toppenish behind the eight ball a little bit at, I believe, number seven, right behind Zilla. They may have beat those teams last year, but I think the onus is on Toppenish coming into this year to really prove it. At the same time, you know, I look at these rankings, I look at this team. Toppenish may be ranked seven going into the year, but if they're there the final two weekends, I will not be surprised.
Hey, I just want to let you know I gave Jason Grant your home address and cell phone number, so just beware, okay, pal?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it's, you know, if you want to go to another competitive league, let's go up to the Northwest Conference, mm-hmm. up north in Bellingham area. Two just powerhouse programs up there, Linden Christian. You mentioned they were in the state finals in 2019. Mount Baker, Ron Lepper, that physical rushing attack. How did you distinguish between these two teams coming into 2021, Andy?
Well, you're talking about two teams who have had a ton of success in the playoffs, consistency as well, and two teams with very different playing styles. Now, you know, Dan Kaming plays a power spread that's orchestrated by offensive coordinator John Van Holzen, and you know, the personnel is key to be as dangerous as it was last year. Ron Lepper runs the wing T at Mount Baker, and he also has the personnel to succeed. So, you know, to me, when I was stacking those two teams up against one another, it came down to ceiling, which team has the better ceiling, the higher ceiling, because these two teams are both capable of deep postseason runs. If you ask both of these coaches, Lepper and Kaming, they're friends. Both are very accomplished, as I said, and you know, I did ask them. They'll tell you the other is the favorite. It's coach speak at its finest. Of course, recent success tips to Linden Christian's favor. It won the league in the spring. It beat Mount Baker in the last game of the season. It really pulled away from them. And before that, Kaming brought his Linden Christian team to the 2019 state championship game. And as I mentioned earlier, gave Royal a heck of a football game, finishing second in the state. So, you know, I think when you talk about ceiling, it starts with Linden Christian. You know, they love their quarterback, Will Caldwell, who steps in. He's a big-bodied dual-threat guy, has a ton of capabilities, you know, poised to take the torch from Grant Dykstra's awesome senior season and keep running. And to help him, you know, Linden Christian has a couple of key impact transfers that you know, you might not have seen last year that I think are going to be really two guys to look at, and that starts with Seaholm transfer Caleb Ryan at running back. You know, he sat out in 2020. He was, you know, he's really valuable with his athleticism. You know, he's a linebacker. He's so much more comfortable in the spring versus the previous season. And, you know, an athlete, kind of positionless, but a guy that will carry a load offensively. And then Cade Elridge from Nooksack Valley. You know, he's a 6'5", 200-plus tight end, defensive end, who was playing JV last year because of transfer eligibility. And if you remember the name, Todd, Zach Sitma from a couple years ago at defensive tackle, Cade Eldridge will play that role, and he's a lot bigger. You know, he trains with FSP. He's extremely violent at the point of contact, in the words of Dan Kaming. I just think, to answer your question, from a ceiling standpoint, if Linden Christian can put the pieces together, I think their ceiling is just a little bit higher than Mount Baker. But again, we're splitting hairs here because these are both top five teams.
I can't get the pick six out of my mind when we went to the FSP air game.
Davin, how can you?
Davin Beeson, baby.
Yeah.
That guy might be the best defensive player, not only in Whatcom County, but he's going to rival some of these really great linebackers around the state, Derek Bergeson. Yeah, it's going to be a heck of a battle up there.
Well, and Todd, we'll get the chance to see those two teams play before the postseason, which is great. It's one of the great things about that league up there. I hope, you know, either you or I get the chance to make it up to that game. But Mount Baker also brings back a really productive running back in Jesse Sandy. He was the team's leading rusher in this past spring. He's got a stable of juniors behind him, and of course, you know, having a bona fide star in Davin Beeson, who, you know, Ron Lepper says, okay, this guy's capable of really helping us out in the backfield, but we don't need him in the backfield. We want him at center in our offensive line. You know, as a sophomore, Davin was asked to play guard, and, you know, he stepped into that from the running back position and really helped out. Now they move him under center, where he might even project at the next level. and he's excelled. So I really like the competing styles of those two teams. Obviously, it's a great rivalry up there, and I think, you know, that rivalry is going to say a lot once we see the results of that game about the playoff race.
Is there somebody, Andy, through your research, that's off the popular grid that you see as sort of a sleeper team here in 1A heading into the fall?
The top eight teams in my rankings are capable of making a deep postseason run. And top nine, I should say, with Riverside at number nine. I mean, that league in the 1A Northeast, yeah, I think that league has a couple of teams that could make some noise in the postseason. But outside of Zilla, that returns nine starters on each side of the ball and has maybe the best quarterback in the state at 1A in Clay Delp, who's a 4-year starter, who single-handedly leads that group under second-year coach Ryan Watson. They changed their entire offensive style around Clay Delp. I think Zilla is probably the first team that comes to mind. The second team that comes to mind out of Southwest Washington is Le Center under head coach John Lambert. You know, they have some major question marks. What's the status of returning all-league running back Bryson Schmitz? Will stud sophomore lineman Ryan Qualick, who Lambert says is his best ever O lineman, is he going to return? He's undergoing some sort of knee issues, serious knee injury. And will dual threat quarterback Darren Cepeda take the torch from Tom Lambert, who has led this group for the past couple of years, and run with it? And John Lambert loves the group he brings back. He's had this thing as well oiled as it can be down in Southwest Washington in the Trico League for years. He doesn't have a state title yet. I wonder when the year is that they will finally break through. I think if they answer a couple of those questions, Le Center is a team to watch out for in the statewide race.
There are so many good candidates at this classification, so many good individual football players. I'm going to put you on the spot, Andy. Who is your preseason 1A State Player of the Year MVP candidate?
I have three names, and we're going to start with the guy you've already mentioned, and that's Davin Beeson at Mount Baker. He, like I said, he started on the O-line as a sophomore. He could be a running back if he wanted to. He's a fantastic inside linebacker. We saw that in the FSP air game with a pick six he had late to seal that game for FSP. He's a great pass rusher. He's disruptive. He can drop back and be effective in pass coverage. He had three interceptions last year. He had four as a sophomore. And, he had a great pick six in that padded scrimmage that we saw. I think, Davin Beeson might be one of the two most projectable players at the 1B level. And I think, based on his impact over the past couple years, Mount Baker will go as far as he takes them. But second is Avery Ellis at Royal. You know, he's going to see a ton of carries as a running back, and he might be a better linebacker. That linebacking core in the center of their defense with Derek Bergeson is going to lead that team. And so, Avery Ellis might have the best two-way season out of any player in 1A for the preseason favorite. So that's why I look at him as a statewide candidate. And number three, a team that I haven't really mentioned at all in this podcast, Todd, that deserves a lot of airtime is Eatonville, coming down from 2A, from the SPSL, running winning that league last year, coming down into the 1A Evergreen League. Kyle Cox on the offensive and defensive line at 6'6", 270. He was the 2A SPSL Offensive Lineman Player of the Year as a sophomore last year. These guys are going to be really tough to limit that time of possession, and their defense has the size that's just atypical of the 1A level. I look at them as a team that genuinely can and will challenge Royal for that top overall seed. And Kyle Cox is a player that we're going to be talking about for years.
Let me give you a name.
Do it.
You heard it first. He scored 10 touchdowns last year for Eatonville. His dad is the coach. They're going to score a ton of points in that Southwest District League. Job Kralik.
Yeah.
And anybody who grew up in this area knows that last name. I think they're going to be very, very dominant in the regular season and heading into the postseason. That's my pick for 1A state player of the year.
Job Kralik, really? Okay, yeah, no, I mean he's got a great, and I know they lose Caden Jumper, Todd. To he's at UW now, and he could do a little bit of everything for him. But the guy that they have behind him, Kevin Wolf, started a couple games in the spring when Jumper was out. He had like 7 touchdowns and 2 interceptions, 67% pass completion in his 2 games as a starter. And you know, Gavin Kralik, their head coach, is really excited about him as a quarterback. And of course, you know, some of the guys that he's going to be getting the ball to, Joe being one of them. So I like that. That's 4 names, 4 genuinely good names. There are more than that that probably will be factored in, but great names.
Well, Jason Grant, again, has your cell phone. Now he's going to have my cell phone and home address too. So if we get a visit from Jason Grant, you'll know why.
Jason Grant is in this conversation as well. You know, Toppenish is an extremely talented team, and you get a guy like him. I think anybody wants to start a team and really have a team leader like him that brings intensity every day, regardless of whether it's, you know, a Monday ahead of a playoff game or whether it's, you know, June. He's going to be the first guy in the weight room, and he's going to be setting the tone. And there's just not a ton of athletes of his stature that come along at the 1A level. So you're exactly right.
Well, maybe his dad will come find me, and that's probably the only person I would like to see least than Jason himself. So it'll be fun.
No question. So keep a lookout for all those teams. Of course, you can read a breakdown of this top 10 in the show notes. You can find that link there. The story is on scorebooklive.com/Washington. Thank you for listening. I'm on Twitter at Andy Bueller. He's at Many Hats Millis. Follow along as we continue to lead up to the fall 2021 season at SB Live WA on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. This podcast is brought to you by SB Live Washington and SB Live Sports, your national hub for high school sports news and information. Subscribe for free wherever you get podcasts. If you do it on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a rating and review to help us best serve you, the listener. You can find our website at scorebooklive.com/Washington. There you'll see news, features, highlights, podcasts, and everything in the world of high school sports across this state. As always, a big shout out to our sponsor, Washington Federal. Thanks to Dan Dickow and Todd Millis for bringing the heat every week. The song you're hearing is by the band Woodrow. It's called So Far Away. It's written by James Schroeder, Carl Johnson, and my dad, Matt Bueller. I'm Andy Bueller. We'll be back next week.